Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you feel like you've lost your way on the journey of life? You know, life's journey is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God, trusting Him, following the signs of His Word, and knowing that He is in control. Next on Daily in the Word, we study how to enjoy the journey down Highway 1 with Pastor Paul Chappell. Highway 1, that's the title of our present series, Journeying Through Life with One Savior, One Lord, One God, the Lord Jesus Christ, following His will, discovering His plan for your life day by day. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday at this station at this time. We hope you'll join us. We also hope you'll visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Maybe refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast through iTunes, or you can listen online at dailyintheword.org. In this series, we're taking a journey through God's Word with Pastor Paul Chappell. It's entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to journey with God through life. And if you seem to have lost your way, if you often find yourself in a fog and needing direction, this series will help you find direction from the Word of God in the will of God. Today we're turning to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, as we're discovering how to follow the road signs of God's Word. Here's Paul Chappell.
We have something called discipleship, and you can learn about it through your adult Bible classes. And every Wednesday night, there's an opportunity for people who have begun this journey by receiving Christ to learn how to merge into the faith. And they can sit down with someone at a table and have a cup of coffee on Wednesday night, and they can learn about the doctrine of prayer. They can learn about the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer and the inerrancy of the Scriptures, and they can understand more about the Christian life by being discipled and grounded in their faith. You see, God says, I want you to merge to my leading in your Christian life. And that's what we're doing today. We're growing in the Christian life. Then secondly, He wants us to merge to His truth. He wants us to learn how to merge to His truth. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 7 once again, it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now, I want you to know this morning that the faith of the Christian life can be known and understood by someone who wants to learn it. I know there are those who misinterpret. They take verses out of context, and whole denominations have been established by scriptures wrestled out of context. But God says, I don't want you to make it that hard. I want you to be grounded in the faith. I heard about a car that was driving very slowly down the freeway, and in fact, they were going 26 miles an hour. And so a police officer pulled them over, and as they got out of the car and the police officer talked to the man, he said, what are you doing? He said, you're only driving 26 miles an hour. And the man said, well, officer, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm obeying the law. And the officer said, well, you can get a ticket for going too slow as well as too fast. The speed limit on this road is 55 miles an hour. And the man said, oh, he said, I don't think so. He said, I saw a sign right back there. It said 26. And the officer said, 26? He said, mister, that's Interstate 26. That's not the speed limit 26. That's the Interstate 26. And the driver leaned back and went, oh, man. And when he leaned back, the officer looked in the back seat and there was someone just as terrified as they could possibly be, seated back there, absolutely frozen. The officer said, what in the world is wrong with her? What happened to her? And the driver said, I don't know. She's been that way ever since we got off of Interstate 160. Now, just because someone misinterprets the Bible doesn't mean the Bible isn't true, you see. There are those who misinterpret the Word of God, but the fact is the Bible can be known by those who are hungry to know it. The Bible says in Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Did you hear that phrase? The Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. You want to grow as a Christian? You want to strengthen your faith? This book can build you up. It will strengthen you and develop you. And God says, I want you to follow my truth. Now, two truths that are under attack today that we must stand for in this hour. First, the truth concerning the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth about Jesus. What is the truth? Look, if you would, at verse 9 and listen to what it says. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, the centerpiece of our faith is the simple fact and truth that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was conceived in Mary of the Holy Ghost. Hence, He was the Son of God. Now, this is the truth that is attacked more than any other truth. People will acknowledge Jesus as a prophet. They'll acknowledge Him as a teacher. But they will not allow the Christian to say that He is the Son of God. Author Dan Brown, in his many different novels, has attacked, really, the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. He has even asserted that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and has spent many, many pages trying to somehow undermine the truth of who Jesus really is. In the Da Vinci Code, Brown claims that it was Constantine at the Council of Nicaea who declared the divinity of Jesus Christ. And he says that until that moment, that no one ever saw Jesus as anything more than a prophet, if you will. The truth of the matter is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, later on Polycarp, Ignatius, and many other early church fathers all believed before the Council of Nicaea that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They worshiped Him as the creator of the world. Even the prophets of the Old Testament saw this to be the fact. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And this was who Jesus Christ was and who He is today. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus Christ, as He had resurrected from the grave, showed Himself alive to His disciples. And as they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, many were immediately convinced, but Thomas was a little bit skeptical. And as Thomas went and finally came close to the Lord Jesus Christ and touched the scars in His hand and felt His side where the Roman soldiers had pierced Him, Thomas simply said to Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." And Jesus did not say, "Thomas, don't call me God." Jesus received that worship because Jesus Christ is God. You see, we must receive the truth concerning the Savior. We must receive the truth concerning the Scriptures. The Bible speaks very clearly, and history has established the fact of the power and the indestructibility of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, the Bible is a God-breathed book. And it is not the collection of man's opinions, but the Holy Spirit of God moved on the authors as they wrote and gave to us the revelation of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 that we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Scripture scriptures guide and direct us. And so a man or woman, when he receives Christ or she receives Christ, enters into a relationship. And they have freeway entrance. The journey has begun. There is new life in Christ. But once we receive Christ, we need to begin merging to His truth, rooted and grounded in the truth. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding who Jesus is, understanding what the Bible says. That's how the journey really gets going in the Christian life. Many of you have been saved. You've been through discipleship. You're growing in your personal devotions, your church attendance. And that is the design of God, to grow in the Christian life. But I want to share a third thought with you this morning. And that is that along the way of our Christian journey, there are some dangers. And I want you to consider with me, thirdly, the fact that every one of us need to beware of loose gravel. You know, as you're traveling along the road, you're going to find there's some caution signs. Sometimes it's construction. Sometimes it's something else that's going to face you. But I want to speak to you about some of the loose gravel that we can face in the Christian life this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8 of our text. And notice what it says. What's the first word say? Beware. All right? The Holy Spirit saying, listen, you've received Christ, and you're growing and being rooted, but I want you to beware of something. You're on your journey, but I want you to beware. What are we to beware of? Notice, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, the word spoil means to carry off. And I don't know if you've ever been on a country road where maybe you hit some gravel, or maybe you've had to swerve off the freeway and get into some gravel. But I'm going to tell you right now, gravel can carry you off quicker than you really want to think about. It can take you right out of action in just a moment. And the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you or carry you off. And notice it says specifically, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Philosophy represents man's best ideas. And we all have philosophies in our lives, but when it comes to the spiritual journey with Christ, our philosophy needs to be rooted in the Word of God. Now, what are some of the philosophies of men that will take us into loose gravel and destruction? There are many. I'll name a few this morning, as we are told to beware the philosophies of men that would hinder our spiritual life. I think of the philosophy of agnosticism. There are many agnostics in America today. An agnostic teaches you can't know who God is. They essentially invite people to divide their loyalty for Jesus Christ with lesser deities, and to say that no one is for sure who God is, and so there's a potential that God is in all of these other beliefs. The Gnostic man attempts to find God in his own way, and denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the way to salvation. Gnosticism will say that Jesus can help us, but that He's not necessarily the way of salvation. There's another philosophy that's prevalent today, and that philosophy is the philosophy of pluralism. And even as the agnostic man says, you can't really know for sure who God is, the pluralist says something like this: all religions are about the same in their veracity and in their ways, and all religions can give us access to God. And so pluralism promotes religious diversity. Pluralism speaks in terms of every religion being just as good, and many, many ways to heaven. And America increasingly is becoming a pluralistic nation. And it is the politically correct way. It is the way that many religious organizations have chosen. But the problem with that, if you're a Christian, is John 14:6. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And so the fact of the matter is, when you are a part of a belief system, when you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, then to be able to say, I am the way, but every other way is just about the same, is not going to happen. The fact of the matter is that the claims of Jesus Christ are very exclusive. The philosophy of men says, yeah, all religions about the same. But the truth of Christ is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says it also. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, my friends, when you think about the idea of pluralism in contrast with the scriptures are very clear that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's another philosophy, the philosophy of polytheism. You know what that one is. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. It's similar to pluralism. And in fact, some modern day pluralists have had Eastern religion affecting their concept. Polytheism has come in to dominate their thinking process. But Isaiah 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me." There is one God, not many gods. The Bible declares there is one God, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you've ever been to Rome, perhaps you've seen the Pantheon. And we were there a few years ago, and I was interested in any building that dated back to the time of Christ and back to the first century Christians. And this one especially intrigued me. And this was an attempt on the part of the Roman government to somehow have a place of worship for people of every faith system. And the Pantheon was the place where all gods could be worshipped. And so whether it was Apollo or Zeus or Jupiter, all of the gods had a place in this essentially god house. And the Roman emperor in the first century also placed at the latter part of the first century a statue of what Jesus Christ would have looked like inside the God house, the Pantheon God house. And the idea was, hey, you Christians don't need to be, you know, so isolated. You don't need to claim that you're the only way. But let's have your God in with all the other gods. And then everybody can have their gods at about the same level and come into this giant 2,000-year-old structure called the Pantheon. And there was only one problem. The Christians would not enter into the Pantheon, for they did not believe that Jesus Christ should be on a shelf with all the other gods, and they did not believe that he should be placed at that level. And by the way, that same spirit today prevails with anybody who knows the truth of the Word of God and who believes that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, the creator of the world. We love our neighbor, we have respect for people of other beliefs, but we will never worship Christ on the same shelf with all the false gods of this world, you see. Why? Because we're not following the philosophies of men. We're following the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a real prevalent philosophy that's come into our educational systems in recent years, and it's called humanism. One of these philosophies, humanism, teaches that man is the supreme result of evolution and that man himself is his own God. We don't have time to give you the entire humanist manifesto this morning, but just take note of the fact it is void of any belief or reference in God, and it essentially states that man is his own God. The problem with that we find in Romans 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. And boy, we've got a lot of scientists that profess themselves to be wise, and they acclaim their own wisdom and congratulate themselves about life without God. But the Bible is clear that their life truly is a foolish life without God. Why? The Bible says it this way: the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so it is. We must beware the philosophies of men. We must recognize that the philosophies of men are loose gravel. You know, I've seen some people accept Christ and maybe initially for a few months or a few years merge into Christ's truth. And then they get out of their Bible study, they get out of church, and they kind of get weakened. And all of a sudden they hit some of that loose gravel. And they want to bring in some of these philosophies, a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of that. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ wants our whole attention. Even as the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 begin, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." God says, "I don't want to share you with all the other gods, but I want you to follow me with your life." And then there's not only the philosophies of men, but very quickly, there's the traditions of men. Notice that, if you would, there in verse number 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men." Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith." In other words, the rudiments of this world, the philosophies of this world, many times people get involved in that loose gravel and they err from the faith. They go off over the side because they did not stay true to the teaching of the Word of God. And so we see the journey of the Christian life in a nutshell this morning. It begins when we receive Christ. And then as we receive Christ, we begin to merge into the truth, rooted and grounded in Christ, growing in the faith. And as we go along in the Christian life, we must watch out for the loose gravel, the traditions of men, the philosophy of men that would pull us away from a walk with Jesus Christ. As I close this morning, there's one more sign I want you to see with me. And that's the one we're going to call the U-turn this morning. You see, the fact of the matter is that all of us in our life need to be well aware of a Bible word called repentance. Repentance means to change my mind and to change my direction. Repentance happens when a man realizes, hey, I can't save myself. I cannot find a relationship with God on my own. It must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot, as a Christian, live this life in my own way. It must be according to the Word of God. And so we have these times in our lives when we must repent and we must make the right decision. Perhaps you heard about the man driving down the freeway and he was a little distracted, wasn't thinking real well, and all of a sudden his phone rang and his wife was on the other end of the phone and she was screaming and she said, Herman, I was just watching the news and I was looking there on Interstate 280. The news was showing that there's a car going the wrong way and heading into traffic. Herman, whatever you do, be careful, be careful. And Herman said to his wife, honey, I'm right here right now. And it's not just one car going the wrong way. It's hundreds of cars going the wrong way. And then he realized, I hope Herman made a quick U-turn, don't you? Now, you can go along life's journey thinking everybody's wrong except you. Or you can come to that place where you decide to agree with God, to repent and to turn around. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you've had in your mind all this time that you would enter into a relationship with God because you're an American, or because you're a Baptist or some other denomination. And maybe today it's dawned on you, you know what? I need to receive Christ. I need to recognize that as a sinner, I can't save myself. I need to receive Christ. And in order to do that, you're going to have to change your mind about some things that you've held in the past. You're going to have to repent about your opinion of self and of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've already repented and been saved, but you're into some loose gravel. And you're about to ruin your life, spiritually speaking. You're thinking of maybe taking a wrong direction. And perhaps you need to repent and turn around and get going in the right direction today. But whatever the spiritual decision, always be willing to repent and come back to the way of God for your life. All of us need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God that He did. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today would be a great day to get on the freeway, trust Christ as Savior. If you have trusted Christ and you're not involved in a Bible class or discipleship, why don't you start merging into the truth? Be careful of those distractions that would come. And always be willing to make a U-turn. You know, at the end of every service, we have something called an invitation. We invite people to make decisions for Christ. You know what that invitation is all about every Sunday morning, Sunday night? It's all about a U-turn opportunity. It's all about an opportunity to change my direction and come back to the Lord. And if you need to do that today, I pray that you will. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the teaching of your word. Thank you that you show us the directions on life's journey. And I pray right now that you would help each of us to just take a moment to examine where we are, to make sure we're heading in the right direction. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would leave this place having merged a little closer to you, having avoided some of the philosophies of this world.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. In today's edition, Dr. Chappell has been taking us through a series entitled Highway 1, Learning How to Journey Through Life with God and for God. Friend, the beginning of Highway 1 is really that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you made that decision? Do you know that He is in your heart and life? If not, then we would encourage you in the privacy of your own heart to pray a prayer of faith, believing, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, to save you, to give you His gift of eternal life, and to take you to heaven. but more than that, to be your Savior today, your one and only Savior, to walk with life through, to trust in, to rely upon, and to seek a relationship with Him. If you have more questions about that, we would love to talk with you. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment, and we'd love to help you understand what it means to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Before we close our program, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a daily link to Pastor Chapel's devotional. You can also subscribe to that devotional and receive it in your email box every day, free of charge. It will take you through the Bible in 1 year. You'll also find the Daily in the Word podcast, also available as a free subscription. You can download this program and take it with you and listen to it on your phone or iPod or computer at your convenience. Maybe there's a friend that you know that could benefit from Daily in the Word. Shoot them an email and send them a link to dailyintheword.org. On the website, be sure to take a look at Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a hardback book, 184 pages, and it's an allegory that helps you understand the burden-bearer relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you. Who is carrying your load through life? Are you trying to carry your load for Him, or are you allowing Him to carry the load and do His work through you? The burden-bearer will encourage and help you understand this relationship in a wonderful, fresh way. It's The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.